If you turn in your Bibles to 2 John, we started a series of 2 John, and we talked about truth last time. You remember that? We talked about what is truth. Truth is found in this book. In John actually uses truth a lot, the word truth. And we looked at several passages, and what is truth from a biblical standpoint? If you're going to define the word truth from the Bible itself, how would you define truth? What is truth?
The word of God.
Truth is the word of God. What is truth? I couldn't hear you. The Spirit of God. And what is truth? The Son of God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Those three. So when you see the word truth, you need to think of that that triangle. The Word, the Son, and the Spirit, and recognize that's what he's talking about here. Now let's just read through it. Follow along with me. The elder to the select lady and her children. That is the way of John addressing a church, no doubt. It was a church body that he was referring to in this manner. Recognizing this is written later and persecution had begun, and that's probably why there isn't a further identification going on. Whom I love in truth. Notice that. He loves in truth. What he loves in the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves in the Word of God. He loves in the Spirit. And not only I, but also all those who have known the truth. Because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ and the Son and the Father in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth as we receive commandments from the Father. Third John starts off, there are very parallel epistles, very, very parallel. And this is the elder again, the same way, Paul, John the elder, to the beloved Gaius, an individual now, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you. Just as you walk in the truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. You think it's important to understand what truth is? It's just not a statement, a fact. It is so much more. What does truth mean? Jesus Christ is truth. The Word of God is truth, and the Holy Spirit is truth. And I'm not intending to repeat. We looked at many verses that supported those three concepts. We are going to aim over this week and next week, and more next week than this week, to answer two questions. Two things the truth does for us. Okay, two things the truth does for us. I'm not going to give you the answer right now. And two things that we can do with the truth, and not only we can, but we are commanded to do with truth. Okay, so we'll come back and we're going to build on that. We're not going to get very far. I'm going to set the stage for it and really pick it up next Wednesday. But that is a whole lot of the core of second epistle of 2 John and 3 John, the answer to those two questions. What blessings did John pray on behalf of Gaius? Well, he says, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health. Now, let me tell you, today's evangelists, televangelists, have gone, they've really gone to seed on this one. They have taken this one and had made it their whole basis of their ministries. As to say that because John prayed this for Gaius, all of us should be praying and desiring and focus entirely, it's what you'd get from theirs, and they would use the all, prosper in all things. And the word would go on to say, and if you're not prospering, you're not right with God. And one of the great ways to get right with God is start giving a little more in the envelope, make sure that you get it in here and mark my ministry on top of it. That's the basic message. And then you will be getting more prosperous because God outgives you. You can't outgive God. So they talk about prosper in all things materially and prosper in health. Now what I want to say very clearly is John is very specifically praying for those two aspects. So we ought not to be trying to be poor, and we ought not to be trying to be unhealthy. That's not the concept here. John is saying that, listen, I'm praying that this is in fact what would happen in this man's life. But keep it in context. Notice it goes on to say, for I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, and walk in the truth, and I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. What about Gaius' life gave John the most pleasure? It was not his prosperity, and it's not his health, but it is his soul's health, the health of his soul. His soul was right with God. He was in the truth, and he was walking in the truth, and he was hearing reports that his convert was walking in the truth. He said, that makes the day. Now, think about the individual that had an impact on you coming to Christ. If they heard from one of us, would they hear about how you walk in the truth? That is the testimony that people, we should want others to think of us. Wow, that individual is walking with God. He's in tune with God. What does 1 Timothy 2:3-4 teach us regarding truth? Well, in 2 Timothy 2:3-4, it says this, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, how many people does Paul say to Timothy that God desires to come to the knowledge of the truth? He wants everybody. He wants everybody to come to an understanding of the truth. What is the knowledge of the truth? What is truth? Truth is the Son of God, the Spirit of God, the Word of God, and he is saying he wants them to come into a knowledge and a relationship, and we're not talking about an intellectual, we're talking about a heart relationship that is deep and meaningful. You got to ask yourself if you're here tonight, is your relationship really just intellectual, or is it really one of the heart? Is there a testimony in your own heart, your spirit and God's spirit, that in fact this is for real? How does our understanding of John's three definitions of truth help us to understand 2 Timothy 2:4, come to the knowledge of his truth? Well, I just said it. Those are the verses that speak to all of those other thoughts. When he really wants people to come to a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. And by the way, he is saying that to Timothy for what purpose? Why was Paul saying, this is what God wants? Why do you think Paul was telling Timothy that? Why was Paul telling Timothy that God wants all people to come into the knowledge of the truth? Absolutely, and that Timothy would not forget what his primary goal is. Go tell people about Jesus Christ. Have them come into a knowledge of who God is, a knowledge of the Word, a knowledge of God, experience with the Spirit. We're not talking about religion. I'm telling you, this, the Word of God does not tolerate this idea of just being religious. It's talking about such an intimate relationship that it really is life-changing. Old things are to pass away, and behold, all things are to become new. What is one of the blessings? Just one, and I didn't put that in your notes, and so I'm trying to emphasize. I meant to, and I typed it wrong, and I'd already printed them. What is one of the blessings? Because there are many, actually. That's the point. Yours only says, what is the blessing? No, one, I forgot the one of, and it kind of distorts the question. What is one of the blessings of knowing the Word of Truth? Look at 2 Timothy talking about Timothy's life. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scripture. Okay, so what is it saying? You know, we're having a parenting class, which is such a blessing on Saturdays, and young couples are coming together and we're dialoguing on truths of how we can honor God in the rearing of our children. But what is it saying about Timothy's early days? We know from this verse and others that his mother and grandmother taught him the Word of God. And what was the fruit of that? Which are able, that you have known the Holy Scripture. How would he have known it? Because his mom and grandmother, at a bare minimum, no doubt others, were teaching him the Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation. What is wise? It means that you're able to truly understand the way it is in regards to salvation. It's not about being baptized. It's not about being a good person. It's not about giving funds to some organization. It's about knowing Jesus. Wise unto salvation. Are we there? And if we are there, do we have a passion to share it with anybody? We are the messengers. You understand why the team might have some problems right now? We are the front line. And if we are not doing it, who is supposed to do it? All of us should have this burning within us to talk to somebody about Jesus, to have an opportunity to lead someone new to Christ. That should be our heart. It should be our purpose. Now, in our day and age, is it easy to get so busy with life that you hardly have time to remember to eat? Is it possible to do that? In our culture, it is very easy to do. But that will not cut it as an excuse when we appear before him. He expects us to be bold witnesses. He challenges us to be bold witnesses. He encourages us to be bold witnesses. He promises great rewards for being bold witnesses, for being faithful followers of him. What is one of the blessings? Well, eternal life. That is clearly one of them. And this is eternal life, that you may know, that they may know you, the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So what is one of the blessings of the word of truth? It exposes people to who Jesus Christ is. Is it important that we get around to using the Word of God when we talk to others about their salvation? Personally, it really was helpful to me in my own personal witness to not call witnessing when I have spiritual conversations. I differentiate the two. A spiritual conversation is, I'm a pastor. I went to church. I listened to this message. I read this portion of Scripture. I'm trying to honor God. That's all spiritual conversation in my books. What is witness is when, may I take my Bible, or can I take a Bible, or can we just talk about what the Word of God says about how we connect with him? We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Do you understand? We have all sinned and fall short. Now I've moved into witnessing. Why do I differentiate those two? Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. Not about your life story. God uses your life story to draw people to want to hear the word, but if you do not share the word, you're really, really not witnessing in my books. I differentiate the two. Now, for some, it may be a tremendous step in the right direction just to start having spiritual conversations. So I don't want to discourage you from doing that, but I want to remind you, we need to get around to asking people, can we talk about the Word of God and what the Word of God says? Can we dialogue on this? Because that is what changes lives. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God in the hearts of men to conform them into his own. It says in John chapter 14, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth. Remember, we're talking about truth here. Whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. Notice the disconnect of the world, the average person who is without Christ, from the Spirit of God, from the Spirit of truth. But you know him. In other words, you are connected intimately with the Spirit of truth. For he dwells with you, and you will be in, and will be in you. What a blessed truth. What a blessed truth. The Christian is acquainted with all three persons of the Godhead. God the Father of truth, Jesus the truth, and the Spirit of truth. Truth is so important, and it is literally a description of God himself, and we are to be sharing the truth. The longer we know a friend, the better we know him or her. I think of my marriage. I think, Brother Perry, how long have you been married? 60 years or? 55. I mean, do you think they know each other, husband and wife, after 55 years of marriage? You know, I recognize how much differently I know Jesus, differently I know my wife Pam today than I did 41 years ago when I met her. Two-thirds of my life have been with her. We have shared nearly every day for two-thirds of our life. Do you think we start to understand how we respond to life? Amazingly, we still have some surprising disconnects, but I mean, that's just because God made us different, okay? I mean, there is a reality there too, but the point here is you really do get to know someone with time, or at least you should. So should we in our relationship with Jesus. Are you closer to Jesus today than you were 10 years ago? I hope the answer is absolutely. Are you more knowledgeable of the Word today than you were a year ago? My prayer is that you are. It should be that we got to this point and now we're arrived. This is a lifetime journey, and it's a thrilling journey to get to know him and to experience and to tap in. You know, one of the things that I find interesting about marriage is for Pam and I to see if we really do know how the other would vote on a certain issue, come down on a certain issue. And most of the time we do know where we come down. Not always that we would come down in the same place, but we know each other well enough to say, that's where we're going to land. That's where you're going to land, this is where I'm going to land, then we've got to figure out how we're going to handle it together. Do you know Jesus better? Do you know how he would have you to respond to different situations better? Are you changing? Are you being conformed into the image of Christ? The Apostle Paul, already a godly Christian and a great soul winner, said that his great desire was what? In Philippians 3:10, it said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. This is a man who is one of the most exciting church planner evangelists that has ever lived. And he has already lived many years, and he is saying to the followers, listen, my heart's desire is to know him better. How can we be content? No matter where you are on the journey of knowing Jesus, how can you be content where you're at? We need to just be excited and purpose to draw further into the Word, deeper into our relationship, more vibrantly serving him, more excitingly sharing him with others. Peter says a similar thing. This is what Peter says. But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. I hope you're understanding what I'm trying to challenge you with tonight. Grow in the knowledge of the truth. That is your responsibility. Get to know him better. In 2 John chapter 2, verse 2, this first part of it, what blessed reality is declared? There, by the way, are two realities in this verse. Because of the truth which abides in us. This is a blessed reality. You know what it is? That truth, if you're really a believer, truth in its fullest sense abides within us. The Spirit of God abides within us. Christ in you, the hope of glory, Jesus Christ abides within us. and the Word abides within us. We are to meditate on the Word and have the Word become richly part of us. Jesus is the truth. He abides in us. These are the verses for it. The Word of truth abides in us. Some verses on that. And the Spirit of truth abiding in us. John chapter 14, 16 through 17. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. And one of the greatest testimonies in my personal life is Romans chapter 8, verse 16, which talks about the Spirit of God and my spirit having an awareness, or my spirit having an awareness of the Spirit of God within me. What an encouragement to me. Because you know what? I am aware of that. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd use these devotional thoughts to challenge all of our hearts to become more hungry for your Word, a growing hunger and a desire to grow in our knowledge of your Word and knowledge of the Spirit and knowledge of Jesus, and that we might use this in the lives, in our lives, to reach others so that they might come to a knowledge of Jesus. Help us to be usable vessels for your glory, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.